morning, Jesus, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, 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 Savior of the world. No other name whereby men and women must be saved. The name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm excited. We're about to start a series in Genesis. Genesis is, if you want to say, beginning. And I believe it's important to know beginnings, to know where you are and where you're going. So I'm excited about this journey that we're starting. I want to remind you that our church is based upon Proverbs 18:24 that says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It's up to us to be friendly. If you want to have friends, you got to make friends. Also want to remind you in John chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I encourage you, if you want to say, think of it this way, to be in the spirit. To be in the spirit. To be receptive to spiritual things today. To listen for the Lord, what he's wanting to speak to you. Because I'm going to be sharing with you these words. It's out of the book that he inspired someone by the Spirit to write. And I get to speak those. So in Genesis, I hope you know the beginning of the book. In Genesis 1 and 1, it says, in the beginning, right there's a lot. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you believe that? So if you don't, where do things start? Who started things? Because this is one evidence, if you want to say, that you can try to prove or look at as far as evidence. Where did things begin? And who began those things? See, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit shared thoughts, if you wanted to say. To me, they're thinking on the same plane, the same line all the time. But say they shared thoughts and they communicated. And then they acted upon those thoughts and communications and a plan. And the plan was to create. Let me just say, God doesn't have a struggle with communicating. And then acting on things that are good. But we do. Can you say that? Do you have any trouble? Have you ever had any trouble communicating with somebody? It happens all the time. Even people that are married and have been married for a long time. Here's the thing. I find that they don't always agree on things. My wife and I, we don't always agree on things. And we sometimes struggle with communication. God doesn't struggle with communication. There's no tensions with the Lord. He has no problem communicating. I've often failed at clearly expressing what my thoughts are, the things that I wanted to design or create or goals to achieve, and therefore the outcome wasn't like I wanted it. You know, I find it interesting. People buy a house or apartment or whatever, car. You know what they a lot of times do? One of the very first things they do is they change something on it. They want to create something that makes it kind of like their own, right? God gave us creative ability. God is a creator of things, and he said, let us make man in our own image, our own likeness. And I believe all of us have some creative abilities. And I believe it's proven by what you do with your car or house or apartment or, right, the clothes you wear. There's all kinds of different ways that drawings, writings, songs, there's things that we create, I believe, based upon the image in which we were created, and that is God's image. But I find this, that there's a gap between what I should or could communicate. I find it all the time. See, God is the master designer, right? They few years ago discovered DNA, right? These peptide strands that we have. You know what those are? They're a code. And if you want evidence for God, who wrote the code? Not only who wrote the code, he changes the code for each one of us. You and I are uniquely, marvelously made. You didn't create your own DNA strand. I want to remind you in verse number 26 of chapter 1 that he says, let us make. Let us make. There was a concerted effort together to make, and we see all these things. And if you don't believe in some of the stories or the people that are around you or their life, you just look at the sky. You look at all the things that are created around you. You did not create them. You may manipulate them a little bit, but you didn't create them. Do you know that the universe is continuing to expand all the time? When he created it, it's growing. It's growing. Let me just say, could we maybe agree that life consists of both the past and the present, and it's moving towards the future? Would you agree with that? Could we agree with that? Some people live their whole life based upon their past, though. And let me give you an example of what that's like. When you live based upon your past, and I don't want to ever discount a person's hardships, hurts, difficulties, challenges, the things that's happened to them in the past. Never. But it's like driving your car, always looking in the rearview mirror. You know what's going to happen when you do that? You will crash. You cannot live your life looking always in the past. Now, we do take the past and the information that we have in the past and then we work on the present. Let me just say this. What's in the past, leave in the past. Work in the present so that if there's something that was bad in the past, that it doesn't continue in the future. Some people live for the moment. That's what teenagers do a lot, right? It's like their mouth, their body kicks in way before their brain does. Now, not all kids, not all teenagers are that way. I know some very mature, if you want to say, gifted teenagers. You know the ones that I found like that? Is they know this designer. This master designer, God. They follow him and God leads them into things. See, God has a plan and it's a good plan. And he tells us that in this story in Genesis, if you go back and read it, there's so much there, but in this plan, right, it was a plan for good. He made something and then he said, that's good. Now look at back at your stuff that you made. All the stuff that you made. Can you look back and you say, after you finish with that, it's like, oh, that was good. It happens. For me, it's a lot of times, it's like, I'm not so sure about that. I was trying, though. Planning is much easier and productive when there's clear communications. Have you found that to be true? With your spouse, with your girlfriend or boyfriend, with your children, with your teacher, with the people at work, when you clearly communicate, and it's not easy. And sometimes you have to go back and clarify things, right? And re-clarify things and check again just to make sure this is what you want, right? See, I've seen the benefits from looking over things very thoroughly and then acting. But see, I need help. I believe we all need help. We need the best advice the best information so that we can put forth the best effort. If you have that, if you have good information and you have good advice, matter of fact, the Bible tells us about it, there's safety in a multitude of counselors getting good advice. And you have to communicate to do that. Let me ask you today, if all of a sudden we heard the emergency sirens go off, I don't know if you heard any emergency sirens last night, what do you think about? You know, your ears perk up, you take notice. Let me just say today, if you don't notice, there's some emergency sirens going off spiritually. There's some warnings happening. And I'm giving you some verses today that have been written for a number of years, but they're applicable today as when they were written. I want you to look at Amos chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. It says, if a trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people be afraid? Last night in Fort Worth, you know, there were some sirens going off. If there is calamity in the city, will the Lord not have done it? When I say that, he didn't specifically do something to hurt things. He created things, right? And because of the fall of man that affected everything, stuff happens. But make no mistake, and we'll read it in a little bit, calamity comes from the Lord also. Sometimes it's the only way to get people's attention. It goes on to say, surely the Lord does nothing. Get this. The Lord does nothing unless he reveals it, reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. A prophet will tell you a lot of times, if you're listening today, I don't know that I'm a prophet, I'm telling what the prophet said. The Lord reveals things ahead of time. He's already said what's going to happen. That reminds you that the Lord talks about the beginning of things, but he also talks about the end of things. It goes on to say, and a lion has roared, who will not fear? I don't know if you've ever been to the zoo and you've heard a lion and he's in the cage and it'll still strike fear into you, thinking, I don't know if somebody possibly left that gate off or can he jump this fence? The Lord has spoken. Are you getting the connection? Who can but prophesy? Let me tell you about prophecy. Prophecy is just saying what God says. We were talking about it in class today. We are not the way. I'm on a stage, but listen, I'm not necessarily encouraging you to completely follow everything I do because I'm not perfect. It may shock some of you, but. See, I'm not the way. Jesus is the way. What I do is point people to the way, to Jesus. Jesus is the way. The man that died on the cross, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. I'm not the way, he's the way. We have opportunity to review what God has done. See, God has stated here through a person, through a prophet that wrote these scriptures, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It was a prophet that wrote those. He revealed those things. And we have the opportunity to research that, to look at that, to talk to people that have witnesses, that have witnessed things. Has anybody witnessed a miracle, a bona fide, undeniable miracle? Anybody? Look around, and would you look at people that's raised their hand? I'm talking about miracle of the Lord. If you talk to them, they'll share with you, I hope, what the miracle was, what happened, what things changed. History is about the past, and we have opportunity to search it, to research it, to look at the evidence from the beginning. From the beginning. I encourage you to go back to the beginning. Let me just say, I always tell people this, my example. If you don't start counting at one, you're going to be off on your numbers. You have to start at the beginning. The end from the beginning. Isaiah says it this way in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. It says, remember the former things of old. He says, for I am God. That's a statement. Big statement. And there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. And here's what he says, declaring the end from the beginning. And from the ancient times, things that are not yet done. You want to know what the future is? God knows the future. And he will reveal them to people, and he has already revealed them to people. And sometimes people have shared them, and sometimes we don't listen. He says, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. That's what the Lord's going to do. Whatever the Lord pleases, that's what he's going to do. How much do you know about the end of things? Unless people start playing God or acting like God in the process, they have not proven to predict or know the future. I want that to sink in a little bit. It is valuable to have information to make decisions. Look at people that communicate love versus those people that are just dominant with force. When did things start and the results of those works? See, here's the thing. Before March the 24th, 1985, people knew me one way. After that night with the Lord, people knew me a different way. There was a change of goals, there was a change of process, and there was a change of attitude. That's what God will do for you if you allow him to. He's not going to force you to. God's never going to come grab you, twist your arm behind your back, and make you do anything. He will not. It goes on and says in Genesis chapter 2, it says, the earth was void, or was without form and void. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this is, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Let me describe that in a short word. It was chaotic. There was chaos. What happened? The devil got kicked out of heaven. He started acting like he was God, thinking he was all that. God sent him to earth like lightning, boom. And this is what happens. Without form, with void and darkness. See, God created with this effort a beautiful design, and it was implemented. And here's the thing, I pray that you, each one of you, put forth some effort to put some design to things. I'm encouraging you to be creative and to design things, because that's one of the ways I believe God shows to other people the creative abilities that he started. See, the enemy tried to play God and make himself to be God. And many people play God, if you hadn't noticed that. They try to change the design and purpose of things. Let me give you a perfect little example. Do you know how to have babies? It's pretty simple. Right? God created a man and a... You don't have to go to science class for that one. But see, people try to change design. They try to change order. Don't play God. What happens when they do? Let me tell you. I'm giving you some information and you can make the decision on it. Have you seen people that change the order of things or design of things? You know what? It describes it just like this verse did. It is without form, void, and darkness. Do you know I heard a statistic this last week that half, basically 47% of still teenagers are depressed. Again, you can see if that's true or not. You can look around. You can ask them. You know, also see that people put on a show sometimes and they don't always communicate what they're feeling. Do you know any people that are struggling? That's a question. I can promise you, you know some people that are struggling out there. They have this huge gap, and here's what they don't want to do. They do not want to communicate. When you get upset, is that what you want to do? You want to talk? It's like, nope. Be truthful. When you get upset, when things are going on, it's like, I don't want to talk. I don't want to tell you. But what do they need to do? Parents will tell your kids, I need you to tell me. You know what God's saying? God's saying, I need you to tell me. I need you to tell me. And parents may even know, and God may even know, right? He knows, but he still wants you to tell him. See, we find people that they look at the images on a screen, or they listen to these embellished stories of how great things are for other people, but they ignore the tragedy and the turmoil that's always swirling around. The world has surrounded them. Things are circulating, and actually what the world's doing, they're actually strangling them with these images and with these false narratives and stories. There appears to be an abundance of people like this. And that's the reason I believe zombie movies are so people are so enthralled with them, is because it reminds them that it's kind of like themselves. They walk around, they're moving, but inside they're without form, they're void, and there's nothing in there but darkness, if they'd really tell you. Or they still may be moving around, but then the other ones, they lock themselves in the room and they don't want to come out and they don't want to talk to people. But they do want other people to serve them and give them what they want, when they want it, how they want it. You know anybody like that? Again, what is it? Without form, void, and darkness. But then there are those that seek the truth. They're not perfect. If you thought this church was the perfect church, it's not perfect, and it doesn't have perfect people in it. But I know these people that love, they keep trying, they keep working on it, they're doing their best, they're allowing God to touch them and do the work for others. And sometimes you might not agree with this, sometimes you may have to fake it, before you make it. So on May the 17th, we're going to do Good Neighbor Day. So we're going to meet here. We're going to try and do good things for the neighbors around us. Sometimes you may not even feel like doing something good for your neighbor. But sometimes you do something good, and then the feeling comes. Because we don't live on feelings. If you live on feelings, you're going to be depressed. We live on what we know. God loves us. God died for us. He sent His Holy Spirit to give us joy, peace, and strength. That's what God wants to bring for you today. Isaiah 45, 6 and 7 says this, that they may know from the rising of the sun to the setting that there's none beside me. Here's God's claim again. None beside me. There's no other. It says, get this. He says, I form the light. Read it with me. And sometimes he creates calamity. He says, I make peace, right? Isn't that what it says? And I create calamity. I make the light, I create darkness. I make the peace, and I create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. I just want to remind you, God brings order to chaos when we allow Him to, when we pray to the Lord to bring order to chaos, when we act upon what God is saying by faith. Sometimes you act not seeing the results. You call upon Him, you communicate with Him. So let me tell you what happens. Separation and isolation are not working except to depress, to cause recess, and no progress. So let me just say, if you isolate yourself, I can tell you, good things are not going to happen. You have to get out and get mixed up in it. You have to try. Let me just ask you this simple question today. Are you progressing? If you're not progressing, would you say that things need to change? Genesis 1 and 3 says this, then God said, after all this, created the heavens and the earth, right? The earth was void, was without form, darkness, and void. Then He says, out of this chaos, He says, let there be light. And there was light. And then He goes on to say, and the light was good. Are we saying that there's light here today? Let me say it again. Are we saying that there's light here today? Yes. Are we being the light to the world? See, if the Lord lives in us, then we become reflectors of the light. John 8 and 12 says this, then Jesus spoke to them saying, this is what Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. If you're in the darkness, then you're not following the Lord very well. But have the light of life. See, we can reflect the light. If we have the light, we don't hide it under a basket, right? But we're like a city on a hill. That's what we should be. Again, I'm not saying I'm the way. I'm saying He's the way. I'm saying He's the light. I just know Him. And He helps to bring light into my life, and I try to help people and bring life into their life. You know, I feel like the Lord gave me a couple of years ago six areas that I've called existence or I'm calling them now purposeful blessings. And that is this: spiritually, relationally, physically, mentally, emotionally, and financially. That's six areas that I believe that are purposeful blessings. I believe God created us to be blessed, if you want to say, in all those areas. He gave us things to do, to follow, and we would be blessed in those areas. And I can't share with you all of those details today, but to me, I guess in opposing to that, I find that there are six areas of formlessness and void and darkness when you don't follow those things. Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21 says it like this: a man's stomach shall be satisfied by the fruit of his, not what he puts in his mouth, what comes out of his mouth. What you say, what have you said to this week? What have you said today? It says, from the produce of the lips he shall be filled. It's very clear what it says in the next verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What are you saying today? Are we following God, or are we pretending to be God? Let me ask you today, did you choose your parents? I can answer that for you. No, you didn't. Did you choose where you were going to be born? No, you didn't. And I can say this, unless you play God, you're not going to know when you die or where you die. But you can go back and you can look at your beginning. Here's the thing. I believe God placed you wherever you are. I'm not saying things are perfect. I'm just saying that God had a hand in putting you where you were born. And if things weren't perfect, God can change things. God can bring order out of chaos. Who decided to make people? Who decided to give them the ability to choose? Follow the evidence. Look at the information that you're receiving today. Choices are important. Who to respect and who to follow are important. Who to communicate with and who to work with. Joshua 24 and verses 14 and 15 says it this way: now therefore, you want to say, fear the Lord. Another word for that is to respect the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods that your fathers served on the other side of the river, whatever river that may be, or in that place of bondage, which is represented by Egypt. It says simply this: serve the Lord. And then it says, and if it seems evil to you, if it does, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites or the people around you, or those who dwell in the land. But he says this: but as for me and my household, We're gonna serve the Lord. You have an image. You were created in somebody's image. Not just in your parents' image. Not just in your grandparents' image. Not in the image of the environment that you were raised in. You were created in God's image. You have an identity. You have resources. You've been blessed, I believe, to be here. You have creative abilities. And you are influenced by those to whom you are listening to and to what you're hearing to do good. But also, here's the thing, not just to do good, but not to do evil. Not trusting in good alone. You know, I do many funerals, and every time people say they were a good person. But I know a scripture that says there's only one that's good, and that's God. Now, I don't deny that some people have done some good things, and I certainly hope and pray that you've done some good things. But I'm praying today that you make a choice today to serve the Lord and do some God things. Not trusting good alone, that's dangerous. Not choosing just what's right, but choosing love. See, God is love. Here's the thing, you and I, if we do not have God, love, we do not know God, because God is love. Is love easy? It's not easy. To love somebody is not easy. Are you hearing me today? To love somebody is not necessarily easy. I'm saying it's worth it. Looking back at Genesis, things are important. It's for the purpose and the plans. God formed you for purpose, and He has a plan for you. His thoughts for you is a hope and a future. That's what God wants for you, a hope and a future. Will you stand with us today? I'm going to give you the opportunity to come and to pray. You know what prayer is? Prayer is simply communicating with God. You can communicate with God where you're at. If you want to pray with a friend or a family member with you there, great. We want to pray with you. I'm telling you today, it's just really struck a chord in my heart. We have to do better at communicating, not just with God, with other people. I believe it's important for us to communicate clearly. And we have opportunity to communicate today. If we can agree with you about things in prayer today, we want to do that. We want things to change. We want progress to happen in our hearts, in our minds, in our life. That's what we have an opportunity to do today by doing this, starting with communicating in prayer. Would you come and join us? Let us pray with you.